The Combine started with general managers and coaches, but now the big-name players have taken center stage, with Broncos fans eyeing one name in particular above the rest. Plus, we're taking you behind the scenes with John Elway at Lucas Oil Stadium. Welcome in to the Indianapolis Convention Center, everybody. I'm Matt Boyer from Broncos TV. Phil Milani and Andrew Mason will be along in just a little bit. But today, day three of the NFL Combine, was the first time that we saw offensive linemen and running backs hit the field for the first time. We're going to be touching on that in a little bit. But here's what we have for you on a jam-packed show of day three. As we mentioned, Phil Milani has a great one-on-one interview with John Elway coming up. For everyone who might have questions about the quarterback position or where the Broncos are in their draft prep, the Broncos GM will have some of those answers. Plus, we'll be taking a closer look at fan favorite Christian McCaffrey. Of course, the Denver native son of former wide receiver Ed McCaffrey, how he's been starring on pro fields for years despite this being his NFL draft dream in Indianapolis. Andrew Mason, of course, will be along running down the big names from the offensive line group and running backs group, and we will be behind the scenes inside Lucas Oil Stadium, taking you someplace you won't see anywhere else, and that is inside the Broncos suite inside Lucas Oil Stadium. Again, that is coming up in just a little bit. As we mentioned off the top, though, this is the first time that we've seen running backs and offensive linemen. They hit the field. We saw Leonard Fournette running the 40-yard dash, Christian McCaffrey, Garrett Bowles of Utah, another big name that impressed. But let's get to some of those national headlines that we were seeing all throughout the day today. It was the biggest headline today. The Colts and Eagles were tied for 14th place in NFL draft position this year. The Eagles will pick 14th and the Colts will pick 15th because of a coin toss. The two teams tied on strength of schedule, but the tiebreak was a good old-fashioned coin toss, and the Eagles came out on top. Now, it wasn't the best day for the Combine if you're Leonard Fournette or any LSU fans for that matter. Came in at over 240 pounds yesterday, but then ran a blazing 4.51, and then only a 28 vertical jump. Not great. Christian McCaffrey, though, flying down the track at 4.49. Not superhuman speed, but still a solid number. And then tomorrow, quarterbacks and wide receivers will take the field. It's a big day for fans, even though Broncos probably won't be taking a quarterback. That, of course, happened last year. Now, as we mentioned, John Elway not likely to take a quarterback in the first round of this year's draft. Of course, that happening last year with Paxton Lynch. However, John's got a lot of big decisions to make this year in 2017 when it comes to the draft. And our own Phil Milani caught up with John to talk about everything that's going on this week, including a shifting of roles. John's going to be making some decisions on behalf of the league. So here's his conversation with the Broncos general manager.
At the Combine, catching up with John Elway. John, you've been in Indy for a few days now with the competition committee. Have you enjoyed doing that?
It's been good. Off to a good start. There's a lot of meetings and a lot of information to go through. But, I'm proud to be on that committee. It's a good one. And it's been eye-opening for me. Kind of see how the process of the new rules and how everything works. And so I've enjoyed it.
Any topics in particular that, moving forward?
Talking about instant replay is always a topic. And so there's that. And player celebration and a lot of different things that go into that. So look at a bunch of different plays on penalties, whether it be, offensive pass interference, defensive pass interference. And so trying to just clarify everything to make the game better.
Free agency just around the corner. This morning, Vance Joseph said that the offensive line is the number one priority. How do you plan on addressing those issues?
Well, we'll look at it. And obviously the market's going to open. It's not open yet. So March 9th, everybody will be out there. And we'll get a couple days before that to start talking to some agents and kind of see where everything's going to fall. And so, we've been through the process and evaluated everybody that's there. And so you're going to have an order as we get closer to kind of see where things fall. And obviously we've got to get better in the offensive line. There's other spots we want to continue to get better too, but that's going to be a focus.
A lot of rumors about Tony Romo out there. Are you in this position right now where you're exploring all options, at least discussing it?
We do that anyway. And so, obviously we try to go and look at all the different scenarios and talk about different situations and where we would be. And so, we do that with everybody, and we do that every year. So we try to leave no stone unturned. And if there's a way that we can make the Denver Broncos better, we're looking for that way.
When you talk to a lot of the current players, they say, oh, it's going to be fine. John will do something. He'll make a splash. Does that put a lot of pressure on you?
No, but you know what? I the fact is we're trying to get better for us in the personnel side and for what I do. This is the time of year that we got to make our football team get better. And so as far as when it comes down to personnel, and so, you know, I'm real excited about the new staff that we have. And now that, now free agency is right around the corner. And then we get a chance to look at all the young guys this week here in Indy that, this is an exciting part of the year. So next 2 months is our time. And with the draft being the end of April that, we got to get the Denver Broncos better.
When you look at all the young guys here, where do you see the strengths in this year's draft?
You know, there's a lot of good football players. You know, I think, you go through it. Obviously, there's a lot of wide receivers coming out every year because of, the way the game has changed in college football and as much, throwing as they're doing in college football. So a lot of wideouts, a lot of corners, a lot of defensive backs, good year for tight ends and good year for running backs. And so, there's a lot of good prospects in the draft.
Your former teammate Ed McCaffrey give you any advice?
He didn't need to. Obviously, we've seen Christian and, being from Colorado and being from Denver and plus, having watched him a lot at Stanford, Christian's going to have a tremendous career in this league.
Finally, one thing that you said in the past is that Vance is really good at evaluating talent. What kind of role do you want him to be playing here in the next couple months?
Well, he's going to be right in the middle of everything. And that's, I think, that's one thing that, this is a collaborative effort among all of us. Matt Russell being there and our whole personnel side and personnel staff, they do a tremendous job. And so, I think that, it's not one guy picking these guys. It's having those conversations, evaluating every player, talking about every player and what's best for the Denver Broncos. And so I'm looking forward to working with Vance for the first time this year know that, it'll be a good situation and we'll be able to find some good football players for the Broncos.
All right. Thanks, John. Enjoy the rest of the week here in Indy.
All right. Thanks, Phil.
All right, we're back inside the Indianapolis Convention Hall with Phil Milani. And, Phil, you've probably spent more time around John Elway than just about everybody outside of the personnel staff this week.
That's true.
What is your takeaway from what he has been saying about this entire draft process? He seems very in tune with everything that's going on.
Well, this is John Elway's time to shine. I mean, he really loves to negotiate. He loves free agency. He likes seeing what else is out there in the NFL, just ways to make the Denver Broncos better. And that's something that he really hammered in during our one-on-one.
One of the things that you guys touched on I thought was interesting was the strength of the draft class. You can read John pretty much as well as most people because you spend so much time around him. What was your takeaway from what he said about the strength of this class?
It was really interesting because he said that the way that college football is being played has changed really the draft prospects that come out. He said that wide receivers are really good in this year's class and that DBs are really good in this year's class, and that's because the way that they play college football nowadays, just so much throwing it down the field with these spread offenses. So I thought that was really interesting. And then also when he talked about Christian McCaffrey, I said, hey, did Ed have to give you any advice? And he right away was like, no, he did not. I think that John Elway, knowing Christian growing up in the Denver, Colorado area, I think he really likes Christian.
Well, John Elway is going to have a lot to think about if Christian McCaffrey does come across the draft board at number 20. Christian's a little bit more than a month away from realizing his NFL dream. But as we found out earlier this week, he's had plenty of opportunities to make a name for himself on the Broncos home turf ever since he was little. Maybe Broncos fans saw this coming for years now.
And it's Christian McCaffrey. He's at the 25, the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Christian McCaffrey.
Since he was old enough to pull a Sharpie from his sock, Christian McCaffrey has had plenty of big moments on the Broncos home turf. McCaffrey was a high school All-American at Valor Christian, winning 4 state football titles with each win coming at Sports Authority Field at Mile High.
Touchdown Eagles!
All of these experiences holding fond memories that have prepared McCaffrey for a future in the NFL.
Growing up, I wanted to be an NFL football player, and it's what you dream about when you're playing, peewee. It's what you dream about when you're a freshman in high school to a senior in high school, and then you get to college and it starts to become a little bit more real. And You know, sometimes you just got to sit back and appreciate where you're at.
Christian has seen his fair share of special Broncos experiences. That's what happens when your dad helps lead a team to its first two Super Bowls. So when he sat down to meet with NFL teams this week, the conversation with Denver had a familiar feel.
It was awesome. It was really cool. You know, those are my guys that my dad played with, guys that, you know, I've been around my whole entire life. So it was a really cool meeting.
McCaffrey's draft stock is high. He might be there when the Broncos draft, and he might not be there. But one thing is for sure, Christian McCaffrey will always be from Colorado.
Yeah, I take a lot of pride, you know, being from Colorado, born and raised there, so I definitely feel that. Having people who have been through it, who have kind of mentored me throughout the way, has definitely been a huge advantage and prepared me.
All right, Phil, this is the big question, right? Everybody seems to love Christian McCaffrey since the day he was little, especially Broncos fans, having played on that field. You saw the Sharpie video. Everybody loves to see it. But does it make sense in football sense for Christian McCaffrey to possibly become a Denver Bronco if he is there at number 20?
I think so. I mean, what we saw him do today, he ran a 4.48. That was the fourth fastest time amongst all the running backs here. So he clearly showed that he's athletic enough. He put up the bench press 10 times. I think that that was good enough for him, you know, scouts and everybody alike to say, hey, this guy can clearly get it done. He has the physical tools to get it done. And a lot of people think that he took a little bit of a slump last year. He still ran for 1,600 yards last season. Maybe not quite as crazy a numbers as he did as a junior when he was a Heisman runner-up. So I definitely think it makes sense. He's proven it in college. And at the combine here, he's shown he has the physical tools.
10 times at 225, that's a warm-up for you, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much how I warm up. Okay. Yeah, I usually throw up like around 45.
All right, thanks, Phil. We'll be talking to you in just a little bit. Yep. You're going to be taking us inside Lucas Oil Stadium in just a moment. But before we get to that, coming up, of course, we're going to bring on our Broncos insider. Andrew Mason will be along to talk about some of the offensive linemen and running backs in this year's draft, including one guy who Mace knows very well, but some of our fans might not heard of yet.
Ooh.
That's all coming up. Oh, look, I can't spoil it.
All right.
We'll be back in just a minute. Don't go away.
I've known Vance for a long time. This was my eighth year kind of being around him. You know, the relationship we've had, we worked together in 2008, and then being around him as a defensive coordinator, I was not going to be shocked. I knew there was going to be some jobs open. He was going to be a guy that people are going to want to talk to. And I just kept thinking to myself, it would be really hard for a team to turn him down, because when he gets in a room and his presence and the command he has around people, it'd be a tough guy to walk away from and be like, oh, I don't want to hire him.
He's got a great demeanor, a great knowledge of the game, broad view, great picture. And, he's excited for the opportunity.
Welcome back into Broncos TV Live at the NFL Combine. Matt Boyer joined by Andrew Mason. Our thanks to Coach Adam Gase and Marvin Lewis for taking some time to talk about Coach Vance Joseph and his coaching process. And now we're about to talk about another process, the draft process. Mace, this is one of your favorite processes and one of your favorite position groups. The O-lineman went today. What did you see from that crop?
Well, Forrest Lamp, he's the guy that I thought really jumped out. There's not many guys that have the crossover on the Venn diagram of being great in terms of power number, the power, the strength, the bench press, and outstanding in the 40. But Forrest Lamp did that. He had 34 bench press reps yesterday. Second among offensive linemen, ran a 5.0 40 that put him in the top five among offensive linemen in the 40. So clearly very athletic. And, you know, his arms actually, he thinks he got mismeasured on his arms down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl in January. They were nearly a full inch longer here than they were measured down at the Senior Bowl. So I think he's answered some questions about whether he's athletic enough to be a tackle rather than a guard. Ryan Ramczyk, obviously, the Broncos and other teams looking at him, did well in terms of, it seems like everything came out okay in the medicals, didn't indicate there were any problems. Not working out the combine because he had hip surgery and really won't be available probably until some point during OTAs for whatever team drafts him. But I think it was good news for Ryan Ramczyk, even though he wasn't on the field this week.
The other position group that we saw today, the running backs, everybody knows about Christian McCaffrey. I know a lot of Denver Broncos fans would like to see him in orange and blue. But we also got to see a little bit of a guy who you know very well, your alma mater,
yeah.
South Florida. Tell us about this Mac guy
from the southern part of, this, of
yeah.
the country.
Marlon Mack, Mack Truck, I guess you could say. Yeah, 213 pounds. He's not the biggest running back, but certainly he's got a lot of power and a lot of speed to spare. 4.5 40 today. That you know, it's not going to be a deal breaker. Not as good as some, but better than a lot of running backs there. Certainly, you're pleased with that. Probably could have done a little bit better in terms of his lifting in the bench press. But the only number that really concerns me about Mack is the hand size, 9 inches. That might scare off some teams. They want a running back with bigger hands, going to hang on to the football. But he really didn't have a fumbling problem at South Florida. So, and then of course Christian McCaffrey.
Right.
Again, I mean, as I've said, I get more questions about him than anybody on the Broncos' actual roster who's not a quarterback. And, you know, he certainly showed his bona fides today. You can look, you know, he had a 4.48 40, and that's good. That puts him right there in the top five among running backs. But the big thing was how he did in the drills. I actually just went back and watched him in the drills and the gauntlet. Very smooth. Great change of direction, catching everything, catching with his hands, nothing, not with his body, doesn't lose any speed when he catches the football. It just goes hand in hand with the football instincts, the tremendous football instincts that we talked about with Christian McCaffrey, complete package. And I think he's going to end up in round one. I think it's going to be mid to late first round, might well be in the Broncos' wheelhouse. We'll see.
Well, I know another position group that we've talked a lot about, both internally and I know a lot of fans have talked about, have been pass catching position of tight end, because you've got O.J. Howard and a lot of other big time prospects, Michigan's Jake Butt, but then another guy from Florida, Miami's tight end David Njoku, is very much very high on teams' lists.
Very high physical specimen, long arms, big hands, everything you really want in terms of measurables in a tight end. And I think he's going to sneak into the first round. We'll see where he ends up, but he's probably right behind O.J. Howard in a lot of teams' estimations. But so deep at this position. I mean, I've talked to Gerald Everett today, Jonnu out of South Alabama, Jonnu Smith out of Florida International, Adam Shaheen from Ashland drawing a lot of attention, actually had 24 bench press reps to lead the tight end. 6'6.5", 278 pounds. And if he puts up a 4.6 40 to go along with that size, he could upend the draft board at that position.
Mace, let's hear real quick what you're working on for this week.
Well, we're talking, actually, I mentioned the tight ends, Smith, Shaheen, a few others that come from non-Power 5 conferences. We're going to be doing a feature on them, showing the depth of quality at this year's tight end class. And also, you can go on DenverBroncos.com. Burning questions about four offensive linemen that look like they're going to be in the first round: Cam Robinson, the aforementioned Forrest Lamp, Garrett Bowles, another guy who had an outstanding combine workout today, and Ryan Ramchick.
Well, Mace, you and I have, of course, spent most of our time here in the Indianapolis Convention Center. However, most of the hard work is being done over next door at Lucas Oil Stadium, and that's where we find Phil Milani with our own Director of Player Personnel, Matt Russell, for an in-depth look at what John Elway, Vance Joseph, and the personnel staff is looking for this week.
Hanging out here at the Broncos suite at the Combine with Director of Player Personnel, Matt Russell. Matt, how's the week been going for you guys?
It's going good. I think we're getting a lot of good information on these guys. The interviews at night are really valuable. I get to spend 15 minutes with the kids we bring in. Get the workouts going today, get started, watch these guys move around, and it'll be a beneficial week for us.
What goes on in this room that we're in here?
You know, you're up high, you can see down on the field, you can see these guys work out, you can see them move around. Gives us a place that's kind of private where we could talk about the guys, talk about them throughout their workout. This is kind of a new concept, maybe in the last 8 or 10 years, having a suite where each team has their own kind of space. Again, you can talk about these guys and you don't feel as spread out throughout the stadium as you are when we're all in here together. It's nice.
You've already done a lot of homework on all these kids. So when they finally get here to Indianapolis, what are you looking for?
Well, I think you're looking for validation of what you saw on tape. You know, you've heard what kind of guys these kids are at the school call. You're verifying some of those things. You've heard some of the good, some of the bad. You want to make sure that the information you have is correct going into the draft, so you're making good decisions.
You brought up the meetings, 15 minutes or so with all the different guys who come through. What kind of things do you want to see in their personality?
Well, I think more than anything, you want to see them be themselves. And you can tell the guys that are scripted. You can tell the guys that have been rehearsed. You can tell the guys that are genuine. I don't know necessarily, other than addressing certain issues that an individual kid may have, really what you're looking for is, you know, confidence, maybe an edge, winning type personality. I think those are all the things that John and Vijay are looking for when you talk to these guys, just making sure that they're the type of guys who want our locker room.
You ever ask them a question just to throw them off a little bit?
A little bit. I mean, maybe try to loosen them up and get a little laughter in the room or something, and just try to get it where we can have some conversation, some dialogue without it feeling like an interrogation session.
Does the combine seem a little bit more important for a guy from a smaller school?
You could probably make that case. I think anytime you come from a smaller school, the more exposure you have, whether it's the Senior Bowl, the combine, you can get out and meet teams, spend time with coaches and with scouts. I think that's beneficial to everybody, but from a small school, obviously, you don't have the exposure that you have at some of the big schools.
Do you put a lot of stock if a guy runs a really fast 40 time or something like that, or you wait and trust the tape a little bit more than what you see out here?
Yeah, I think everyone's different. I think we tend to trust the tape. I would not say that we throw away numbers of the combine. I think there's something to be said for extremes. If you've got a corner or receiver that runs really slow, that's a red flag. Maybe if you've got a guy graded low that runs really fast, you need to go back and do more work. So those kind of things I think are important at the combine. Try to kind of marry up what you see on tape with what you see in the workout. And if there's a vast difference in one or the other, then you need to go back and do more work.
Yeah, I think in the years past you said something like there needs to be a base level of athleticism to make sure, this guy can play at the next level.
Right. Yeah. I think there's an expectation at each position, for speed. We have what we call types, and it's height, weight, speed, which is a kind of a floor for us. And you have to be able to do certain things athletically at certain positions. And as long as those guys do those things here, it's not going to negate what you see on tape. But it's when guys are really outside of those parameters where maybe you have some concerns, or maybe you get excited about a guy that you've got really low that you think, this guy's a lot more athletic than we thought.
Where do you see the strength in this year's draft?
I think that as a team, we feel like, you got a lot of strength at tight end. You got a lot of strength in the back end at safety and corner. It's probably one of the better classes we've seen at safety and corner in a long time. It's our job to go find those guys where there's not depth at certain positions. We need to go down there and dig down and try to find some mid, lower round guys that could come in and help us. But I think the strength is certainly tight end, the secondary, and I'd throw running back in there as well.
Once you guys leave here, what are the next few weeks like leading up to the draft?
Well, we'll just continue to prepare. We'll continue to watch these guys, we'll start to bring guys in for the top 30, spend time with our coaches, start to narrow our focus, really kind of narrow the board and continue to kind of trim names off the bottom. And we'll head into April and we'll get into the kind of the meat of the draft meetings, and we'll get that board set and get ready to roll for the end of April.
It's an exciting time, right?
It is. Real exciting time for us.
Yeah. All right, Matt. We'll let you get back to work here.
Thanks, Phil.
I think I speak for all Broncos fans when I say we are all very jealous of the places that Phil Milani gets to go on a daily basis. Phil, that was an incredible piece, being able to sit down with Matt. What did you take away from what he and the personnel staff is trying to do this week?
Well, first off, thank you very much to Matt Russell, John Elway, Coach Vance Joseph was in there. Very kind of them to let us come in and sort of peek behind the curtain a little bit there. So I think the fans, hopefully you guys enjoyed it, because it was really cool just to see how they observe things. You can see them taking notes when a guy runs a 40 time, something like that. I thought the interesting thing talking to Matt Russell was he's usually just looking for baseline numbers. If a guy meets his baseline, that means that he's athletic enough to play in the NFL. And then he said he's looking for extremes. If a guy goes out and puts up a huge number, that means that he needs to go back and do some more work on that guy. If a guy puts down a low number, he needs to revisit and see, okay, what's going on here. So those were the two really cool things that I thought that he said. And then just now moving forward, what's next for these guys? They got to go back. Free agency, because the combine is 1 week later, free agency comes up really fast, and of course that affects how they're going to draft. So the whole big board could change really soon here.
Well, that's just the type of access that we give you here on Broncos
really cool.
TV on a weekly basis, a daily basis here at the NFL Combine. And coming up this week, we're going to give you a little bit of a preview right now as to what will be coming up this weekend on DenverBroncos.com. We'll be taking you inside the NFL experience. Fans have been slowly starting to make their way inside the convention hall. This is the first time, of course, in league history that fans are allowed inside the NFL Combine as a whole. We'll show you some of the activities and exhibits. Plus, Mace will have the best fits for the Broncos along the offensive line. And Aqib Talib, one of our favorites and a fan favorite for sure. He's got a story on DenverBroncos.com right now about his combine experience and how it changed possibly the trajectory of his entire NFL career. Be sure to check that out. And also, we'll be back with another jam-packed show Sunday, 3 p.m. Mountain, live here on DenverBroncos.com. We hope you will join us then. Phil, give us something to look forward to this weekend. We've got a couple of busy days still left here in Indianapolis.
Speaking of some of the cool access that we got to go to, Eric DeLalla, writer
right.
for the website, got to catch up with Eric Studisville. He was running the running back drills today, and he gets cool access to some of these guys, you know, Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey. He gets to be down on the field with them. A really cool story coming up Saturday morning. So that's something that's really cool to look forward to.
We've got nine people here on the ground in Indianapolis from DenverBroncos.com bringing you all the best access throughout the weekend. We hope you will join us not only on the website but also on the live stream for our show this weekend. Again, that is at Sunday, 3 p.m. Mountain. For Andrew Mason, Phil Milani, I'm Matt Boyer. For now, we're going to say so long. We hope to see you Sunday, and goodbye from Indianapolis. We'll be right back.